Are you alert when you're out in the world, when you're going out, you know, just your daily activities? Are you alert and are you aware that you are in lion country?
What are the greatest risks to living in your community? Most people would include natural disasters like a hurricane, flood, earthquake, or tornado. Others would add human factors like a drunk driver, a burglar, or a terrorist attack. But very few people around here would put a lion on that list, even though one particular lion is the most dangerous creature of all. Welcome to The Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. The Bible says that our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a raging lion, seeking whom he may devour. Pastor J.D. would like to share some good advice on how to protect yourself from that beast. So let's join the congregation of Calvary Chapel and listen to the message, Lion on the Loose.
Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I thought you could use a little bit of a break from James. You know, I mean, if you feel like you're a little bit bruised and beat up from James, you know, it's all in love. Remember that. And Peter doesn't exactly have a soft touch either. I don't want you to get spoiled, so I thought we got to bring you down easy. So we're bringing you down a little bit with Peter, and then we're going to go back to James after your bruises have healed. And but you know, Peter was quite a man, I think. He was a man's man. Peter was, he was gruff. He was tough. He was a fisherman. And so as I like to kind of get into the sandals of the guys, you know, when I'm teaching, and it's always interesting to kind of try to figure out or hear them speak. And Peter is one I'm anxious just to listen to how he talks when we get into heaven, because I think he's got this deep, you know, fisherman voice. And so I can hear him saying this. Look at chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. I can't imitate Peter on this, but he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." Now, the title of this message is Lion on the Loose. And I did read a couple of months ago about a tiger. Not a lion, but a tiger that was on the loose in India. This tiger actually killed about 10 people. And of course, the Indian people in the region were terrified because, you know, almost anything you do in India, you've got to go out into the brush. If you're going to use the, you know, there's no sanitation there, you go out into the brush. You know, you go gather food out into the brush. And so, you know, they're terrified because you go out and you're just going to go out to use the restroom and you become a meal. And it's just, it was a terrible thing that took place there in India. I don't know how they resolved it, but the Indian government actually put out a warning to the people in that region. And the warning was meant to cause people to take every necessary precaution against the danger of an attack. Now, Peter is writing to the church, and Peter is now warning the church, and there is a lion on the loose. He is roaming around. He is searching for prey, and he is searching within the church. And so Peter begins, he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion." Now, I read an article about 10 deadly pet incidents. One story was about a man who owned a lion, and I guess this lion was a pet. And one day his wife came home from work and was looking everywhere for her husband, and finally she, you know, went out and looked at the lion's cage. Well, this lion's cage had two compartments. The lion would be locked in one compartment while the other compartment was being cleaned. And she was surprised to see this middle gate between the two compartments was actually open. And she was even more surprised when she looked in one compartment and there was the partially devoured body of her husband there in the cage. That's a true story. And it's interesting that Peter here, he compares Satan to a lion. You and I, we don't have experience with lions because unless you worked at a zoo or you're a lion tamer, I don't know. Do we have any lion tamers with us? No lion tamers. Okay. All right. But we don't really have experience with lions because we don't live in lion country. But in Peter's day, there were real lions. They weren't kept in the zoo. In fact, I doubt if they had zoos in that day, but they lived in lion country. And as I studied for this message, I discovered that, surprisingly, that lions can actually be very docile animals. They can be pets. I read about a man named Kevin Richardson, who is referred to as the lion whisperer. Who wants to be a lion whisperer? Do we have any volunteers? I mean, being a horse whisperer is one thing. You know, what can a horse do to, well, I take that back. A horse can do something to you. But a lion, you know, the lion whisperer, and this man actually slept with lions. I mean, he just had a special way with lions, and I saw a picture of him with, you know, lions just have their big paws around this man, just loving this man. But let me tell you something. There's one incident where a lion is never safe, and that's a hungry lion. There is no such thing as a hungry lion that is a safe lion. A hungry lion is always a dangerous lion. And Satan is described here not as a docile lion, not as a pet, but he is a hungry lion, and he is going around and he's hunting for prey. He desires to devour. Now, yesterday, I just happened to be texting back and forth with the producer of our Voice of Truth radio broadcast, and he was talking about how over the years, he and his wife have developed the same taste for food. I thought, that's interesting. That's a good connection there. You have the same taste for food. And it is interesting that we all do like certain foods, and we have a taste, we have food preferences. Maybe your favorite food is seafood. Maybe mine is Italian food. Maybe your favorite food is a McDonald's Happy Meal. I don't know. But, you know, we all have a taste for something. Well, just like you and I, the lion has a favorite food. You'd probably never guess what it is. I would think it would be something like the rump roast. Easiest to get to, you know. But no, the lion goes for the intestines. Yes, lions love intestines, and when a lion kills its prey, they know where to go for their favorite meal. They immediately tear open the abdomen and they eat the intestines. In fact, I read that lions, they hunt in packs, and as one lion brings the prey down, another lion is already ripping open the abdomen before that prey is even dead, and it's eating the intestines right away. And you know, I'm only telling you this just in case you go out for spaghetti, you know, after, you know, for lunch today. Give you something to think about. And so the lion loves the intestines. And as I read this passage, I had to wonder if the Christian happens to be the favorite of food of Satan. As a lion, certainly Satan will gladly feed off whatever he can take a hold of in the world. And Satan lives and a smorgasbord, as far as the world is concerned. He eats continually of the flesh of the unbelieving world. He already has his prey, but Satan must have a favorite meal, and it would seem that his greatest desire is to take down a believer. His greatest desire, his hunger, is to devour the believer. There is something different about a Christian. Yes, it's true that he devours anything in the world, but what is it about the believer? Why does he go after the believer? Why does he seek to devour Christians? Well, what's different about Christians is that the Christian is the only one that is called the child of God. The believer is the only one that is the son of God. Believers are referred to as sons of God. In fact, those who are not children of God, they're referred to as children of the devil. In fact, Jesus said to the Pharisees, John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Now, Satan has his children, and one thing about Satan is we discover that he has no hesitation whatsoever about devouring his own. He is a devourer, but his real appetite is for the child of God, and Satan is on the loose, and he loves to prey upon people who are in the church. And that is why Peter now is writing to the church. He is warning the church, and he's reminding us all that there is a lion on the loose, and he is seeking out a meal, and the lion is Satan, and you and I, we are the prey. Now, sometimes, somewhere along the way, many Christians have been taught that Satan is like a lion, but he's a toothless lion. Have you heard that before? Ah, just a toothless lion. He won't bother you. He can't hurt you. Oh, You couldn't be further from the truth. There would be no need for a warning if he was just a toothless lion. And so I believe this assumption that Satan cannot hurt, that he cannot destroy, that is a misassumption. And there was nothing more that Satan would rather have you believe than that he is harmless. Because if you really believe that, you won't pay attention to this passage. You won't take what Peter is writing seriously. This passage, it can be broken down into two very simple points. First of all, Peter gives the warning. And second, Peter gives to us the weapon, a warning and a weapon. Now, I'm thankful for the warning, but I'm also thankful for the weapon too. It's good to have a weapon sometimes. We know when I was young, we would go camping in the mountains of Wyoming. And you know, that's bear country over there. And I remember my father, you know, he'd tell us kids, he'd say, "Yeah, watch out for the bears. Watch out for the bears." But you know what really convinced me that there was bears? My father carried a .357 Magnum beside him, you know, when we went there. And so I knew Dad was serious. Watch out for the bears. Well, so Peter here, he's first of all, he's giving to us a warning. Look at verse 8. Two words, be sober. Be sober. Peter warns the believer to be sober. In our English language, the word sober can mean to be clear-headed, or it can mean to just be serious. But in this passage, the idea is of being alert. The word sober, it's a verb, and it's a verb that is used to describe an action. And so the action on our part is that we are to be alert continually. You know, when I'm hiking around out in the brush, I never really think about lions because, you know, we're not in lion country here. But I tell you what, we are in snake country. And where I hike around, there certainly are a lot of snakes. And, you know, I've had a few run-ins with snakes over the years. The first time I ever ran into a snake was I was about 8 years old. And I was living in Montana. And, you know, we did live on a ranch. And our house was on one end of the yard, and my uncle's house was on the other end of the yard. And I can remember we just got home from vacation, and it was nighttime. And I was so excited to be home, and I don't know why I had to run over to my uncle's house, but I ran out the door, and I'm running across the yard, and suddenly, right in front of me, I hear the warning, the rattle of the rattlesnake just go off. And I'll tell you what, that's when I learned how high I could jump. I mean, you know, I jumped high. And I'll tell you what, I've had a number of run-ins with snakes since then. One thing I've learned, I hate snakes. I hate snakes. But there's a second thing I have learned, is that when I am out and when I am in the brush, I'm alert, especially in the springtime. I'm watching the ground, and I'm being careful where I'm at, and I'm aware of the fact that, you know what, this is snake country. And so essentially what Peter is saying, he's saying, this is lion country. When you're in the church, you're in the world, listen, you are in lion country. And so Peter is telling the church, he says, listen, be alert, be careful. Are you an alert person? Are you alert when you're out in the world, when you're going out, you know, just your daily activities? Are you alert and are you aware that you are in lion country? Well, Peter's warning, it's a two-part warning. The first is to be sober or alert, but the second part of the warning is to be vigilant. Vigilant. Again, in our English language, to be vigilant means to be cautious. In the Greek, the idea is to be watchful. The Christian must live with awareness that he or she is a hunted prey, and as such, we're warned. We're told. We're warned to be watchful. We are warned to be vigilant. In fact, we're told many times in the Bible to be watchful. In the Old Testament, the children of God are continually warned to be watchful. Exodus 34:12. Take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, lest it be a snare in your midst. Watch out for the snares. The writer of Proverbs warns us to watch or to guard our heart. The writer of Proverbs, Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart or watch your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Jesus warns those who follow him. Matthew 24:4, he said, Take heed that no one deceives you. There is a lot of deception out in the world. And we're warned that we need to be careful. We need to be watchful out in the world because there are so many deceivers out there. I'll tell you, that goes for the church. That goes for the ministry. It goes for Christian radio. It goes for TV. You can see out there that there are many deceivers. And so you have to be watchful and you have to be careful. The Apostle Paul warned Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:5, but you be watchful in all things. In other words, you know, whatever you're involved with, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, in all things, you must be watchful, Timothy. Probably my favorite verse on being watchful is the one that Jesus gave to the disciples. Just prior to his crucifixion, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying. He separates from all the disciples, and you know, he brings his three closest, Peter, James, and John, with him. And I like this passage because Jesus tells us why we need to watch. Matthew 26:41, Jesus said, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but here's the problem, the flesh." Oh, the flesh. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus here, he identifies our problem. The reason why we need to watch is because our flesh is weak. What does that mean? Well, to sum it up, it just means basically we're all human. We have a human nature. We have a nature that is susceptible to failure. We have a nature that is susceptible to falling. We have a nature that is susceptible to temptation. And so Jesus is saying, you know, you have the Spirit within you. And the Spirit is saying, you know, this is what I like to do. This is what I'd like to be. This is what I desire. But it's not always what I can live up to. My flesh is weak. You know, I'd say it's probably doubtful that any of us enjoy. Is there anybody that loves to lose their temper? I mean, do you enjoy losing your temper? No, you don't. You probably wish you didn't even have a temper. But isn't it true that even though we wish we never lost our temper, we never lost control, and yet we find ourselves sometimes we do? And it frustrates us. The spirit is willing. We desire, but the flesh, the human nature within us is weak, and we give in sometimes to those fleshly appetites. And let me tell you, that goes for pride. It goes for lust. It goes for selfish ambition. It goes for unforgiveness. It's true of all human appetites that we have. We struggle with our flesh. And so Jesus warns, and he said, you know, you better be watchful. Because even though you desire, even though you want, even though it is your hope, you still have this problem with the flesh and that it's weak. And so we have to be careful. We have to watch because Satan knows and he understands the weakness of our flesh. And so the Bible warns over and over and over again to be watchful because by human nature we are weak and we can be brought down. And Satan knows where our weaknesses are. Now sometimes we do have to watch what we watch. Do you know what I mean? You got to watch what you watch. Well, I went into the house a few days ago. There, sitting on the counter in front of me was a freshly baked pan of peach cobbler. Now, I was watching. And so I looked at that pan of peach cobbler. Now, it was dinner time. And to be honest, you know, I'm really a healthy eater most of the time. But I couldn't get my mind off this peach cobbler. And so Delene asked me what I wanted to have for dinner. And I said, peach cobbler. And guess what I had for dinner? I had peach cobbler. And you know what I had for dessert? Ice cream. Yeah. And you know, it was like I feel like I'm saving time because I'm having dinner and dessert at the same time. Peach cobbler with ice cream. I mean, it is a great combination. But listen, it only happened because I wasn't watching what I was watching, if you know what I meant. Had I not been watching that peach cobbler, I guarantee you I would have eaten salmon and a nice salad, which would have been much healthier. But I couldn't get my mind, I couldn't get my vision and my focus off the peach cobbler. And so, of course, I tell Delene, you know, please, please hide the peach cobbler. I don't even want to see it, you know, because if I see it, I'm going to eat it. That goes for chocolate too, of course. And so I have these issues, you know. So you got to watch what you watch. Isn't that true? And so it is with, you know, anything in the world. You know, you've got to watch what you watch. You have to be careful. Now, Peter describes Satan as a roaring lion, not just as a lion, but a roaring lion. Now, the fact that he roars is significant here. As I studied about lions, there were various reasons given as to why lions roar, and someone said, well, only a hungry lion will roar. That's really not correct. The main reason that a male lion roars is to identify himself as the owner of the territory where he roams. In fact, a male lion will not roar if traveling outside of his territory. He travels quietly, he travels discreetly, he doesn't want the other male lions to know he's around, and so he's careful, and so he's quiet. But the moment he gets back into his own territory, the first thing that the male lion does is he emits a tremendous roar so that everyone knows, hey, I'm home, and this is my territory. And watch out. It's a warning to the others. I'm here. My territory. And he marks it with a roar. And I've heard that the roar of the lion is so mighty and that is so powerful that it can be heard by the human ear from a radius of 5 miles. A roar of a lion. Have you ever thought about the world being the territory of Satan? Have you ever considered that this world that we live in, really, essentially, it is Satan's territory, at least for now? 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul tells the church, he said that Satan is the god of this world. Now, this does surprise some people, especially since we sing the song, well, this is my Father's world. Listen, it is our Father's world in that he created all things. And he created all things for his pleasure, but Satan has usurped the authority on this earth, and he has taken control of the system. When we talk about Satan being the god of this world, what we're referring to is that Satan is the god of this world system. He is the reason why we have wars. He is the reason why people murder. Satan is the reason why people hate other people. Every bad worldly virtue has Satan at its root because, as Paul said, he is the god of this world, and this world is Satan's territory. And what that means for you and I is that we live in lion country. And that's why Peter's giving this warning to the church. Maybe you've seen the signs, watch out for the bears. Well, Peter's warning us to watch out for the lions. There's a lion on the loose. And so we have the warning, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, beginning with verse 9, Peter gives to us the weapon. I said there's 2 points here. Number one, the warning. Second, the weapon. We do need a weapon. Praise God, we have a very powerful weapon. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he said in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And I love that word, mighty. As you know, we think of a lion, a mighty lion, but our weapons are mighty weapons, mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Though Satan is not toothless, and yes, he's a dangerous predator, I see no place in the Bible where the believer is to fear Satan. We may respect his power. We may respect him as a dangerous predator, but I see no place in the Bible where it says that you are to fear him. The apostles didn't fear Satan. The angels of heaven don't fear Satan. Jesus certainly did not fear Satan. In fact, it's Satan who fears the name of Jesus.
You have been listening to The Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. For a copy of today's message, call 281-499-6301. That's 281-499-6301. And mention today's date, or you can visit our website at calvary.cc. That's calvary.cc. Calvary Chapel meets for worship services every Sunday morning at 9:30 at 7711 Brazewood Boulevard in Houston, Texas. We also have a midweek Bible study Wednesday evenings at 7. Thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us again for the next broadcast of The Voice of Truth.